Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Yo.
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay, just checking, baby. making sure y'all had me, man.
Yo,
y'all there, baby? H-Town, I'm over here in NRG Stadium talking to you now. Are you there? Hey, full transparency, I pulled a cord over here and it hit a switch and I didn't know what that switch was. So sorry about that.
The last thing they want us doing out here, Clint, is pressing buttons, man.
I know. I'm sorry,
they just
man.
I know, like you say, it was an accident, man. But you don't want us out here pressing no buttons, man.
It's not like there's any kind of Chernobyl, you know, risk here with any button pushing. It'll be all right, man. You're good.
And you know what? You could be a lot. What would make you a lot worse? If you was part of this Astros bullpen that was giving up the cheese, man, you ain't that bad. You all right with me, Clint?
Yeah, update real quick on these Astros. 5-2, top of 8. Just Josh Hader just gave up a bases loaded, base clearing double.
Yeah.
No! Triple.
Wow, they got away to third, huh?
He got the third. Yeah. By a pinch hitter at that.
Well, this is not good.
Andy. Boy, Andy Ibanez.
You look at if this game don't straighten itself out, boy, you look at Presley and Hader being the reason that you get pushed smooth up out of the playoffs. It'd be a tough pill to swallow. But we'll keep you updated on how the Astros, if they can swing this thing and make a little bit of a comeback here. But in the meantime, B's got that all-22 on the Houston Texans and Jacksonville Jaguar game drop.
Yep.
And I haven't gotten all the way through it yet, so I'll be transparent. But from the jump, there are two things, B. Scott, that stick out from the jump. That if we talk about the Texans needing to play better football, needing to tighten this thing up and figure out their identity, if that's what they need to do, which I'm not real sure that I understand a lot of that conversation about you don't really figure out who you are until week 8.
They've been saying that a lot, Clint. Yeah, what's that about, man?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, last year I can understand it because you didn't know who the hell was who. Everybody you've got this year, you ought to know what the hell's going on, with the exception of maybe Joe Mixon because he's been injured. I mean, everything else, you should have a pretty good idea. But
they've pushed that narrative consecutive weeks in a row, so I'm glad you pointed it out. It's kind of strange.
It's silly. You know, the first couple of weeks, the abbreviated training camps they have nowadays, I get it maybe, but boy, to be talking about it right now and seeing some of the things we're seeing is interesting. But here's the deal. I got one on the offensive side of the football and one on the defensive side of the football. We're talking about the Texans getting better right now, right? And we're not talking about bringing a player in or another player getting healthy or nothing like that. On the offensive side of the football, the offense is inviting defenses to load up the box, to bring more defenders between, let's say, the tackles and near the line of scrimmage. They're bringing extra tight ends in the game and extra and fullbacks in the game. They're running a lot of, regardless of the personnel, they're bringing a lot of like really tight formations with the wide receivers, which brings more defenders into the ball and I mean into
the box.
Near the ball, into the box, but near the ball.
Yeah.
Right? And to me, this, you're asking guys that aren't great run blockers, which we all know at this point. Like this, they're not road graders. They're not going to turn the corner overnight and all of a sudden become the Detroit Lions offensive line. They're not going to turn the corner overnight and all of a sudden become more like Trent Williams over in San Francisco. They're not going to turn the corner and be the Titans from Derrick Henry's glory days. They're not going to turn the corner and become the Baltimore Ravens punishing offensive line. You're not going to do that. So the thought of continually, by design, by the formations that you're calling and the personnel that you're putting in the game, you're inviting more people to the line of scrimmage and then asking guys that you know aren't movers of men. They're not going to move mass. You're asking them to move more. You're muddying the water for the offensive line to try to figure out who they're blocking, who they're not blocking, how are they going to get there, who's got who. And it's just, at this point, with this offensive line, I think it was the first four run plays in the game against Jacksonville. And there may be more than that. I got pissed off and quit watching the run plays that closely. But I know the first four run plays, they were all, whether it was personnel or formation, every one of them designed, like brought 7 and 8 guys into the box, and then they turn around and try to run the football right into it. It's just like there's this offensive line. The only chance that we have of running the football, and really it fits our personnel better, by the way, the only chance this team has of running the football is to spread guys out. You watch how Jacksonville ran it a couple of times. Yo. Spread guys out. It allows your offensive line to go, that guy right there, it's blatantly obvious, that guy's the Mike linebacker, that guy's the Sam linebacker, we're going to double up to those guys and we're going to move some people down. It makes it so much simpler. I don't know why Bobby Slowick continues to condense all the formations and go with these heavy personnel to the point last week where there was a Blake Fisher in at tight end.
Yeah.
A package where Blake Fisher, British Brooks, Taylor, and I can't remember, the fourth guy I think was Mechie. I mean, or Xavier Hutchins, one of them too. I'm thinking, like, what are we trying to accomplish? By the way, no, Dalton Schultz was on the field with that too because it was an added tight end. So it's just like these guys are not – they're not going to run the football that way, period, point blank, and you're not going to be a Super Bowl contending football team unless you find a way to run the football.
So I appreciate how direct you're being about it, how definitive you're being about, hey, they don't do this well, so therefore they should not do this. They need to get away from what they don't do well and get to what they do well. I appreciate that and respect that. What I can't get with, though, Clint, is this heavily invested in offensive line, highly, and maybe I need to get over this, but I cannot – unsee the investment that they've put in the offensive line and honestly their intention, what Bobby Slowick comes from, the fact that they went out and got Joe Mixon. I understand he's been unhealthy, didn't practice today and all of that. I understand all of that. But I cannot get to a point, Clint, to where I'm just like, all right, you got this offensive line that you spent all of this money on and you got a running back that's supposed to be good and Cam Akers is about as good as you're going to get for your third string. And you can't line up and man to man, like just hit the sun gun across from you in the mouth. Like, I understand what you're saying and I'm not disputing it, but that for you to watch the film, know what you're looking at, and to evaluate this personnel in a way that says, hey man, those guys just are not gonna punch you in the mouth. You shouldn't do that. That in and of itself, before you even get to the execution of it, that just as a thought is frustrating to me. Like, I that bothers me. I would ask you this, though, Clint. Let me just to throw this at you. Do you think maybe they're doing that, whether they think it's a dummy mission or not, or a wasted down or not? Are they trying to set up a look later on, like a set up a kind of a pass play later on and make it look hey, this looks like this silly run play that we did in the first quarter, but actually we're going to try to get it over the top.
I've never seen anybody set that. I mean, because these are between the 20 middle of drive plays. It's not like it's third and one or fourth and one, and we're gonna show this look, and then the third time that we do it, we're going to all of a sudden pull up play action and throw it over the top. No, I don't think that. I think that Bobby Slowick and D'Amico Ryans, they want to run the football, and the way that Bobby Slowick is trying to do it. And the worst thing that ever happened to them was rushing for 200 plus yards against the Indianapolis Colts first game of the season.
Man.
I'm not saying that this team can't run the football effectively. What I'm saying is you can't put two tight ends and a running back in the backfield next to Lamar Jackson and invite everybody into the box and then think you're just going to punish people, build a wall and move people up front and give a little bit of confusion on who has the ball, and you're going to come out consistently running the football well.
The style of it has to be spread out.
There's two styles of running the football. The old school way is invite everybody in, be more physical, punch them in the mouth, and even if you don't make hay early on in games, then guess what? In the fourth quarter, you're going to get tired of getting punched in the mouth, and we're going to go rush for 80 in the fourth quarter and move the football. If we got a lead, we'll put our knee in it. If we don't, we'll go down and score, and you won't be able to handle us, right? That's one physical way. The other way is the newer age spread way to do it. Spread teams out, because when you spread teams out, they got to defend you sideline to sideline, and now naturally there's more running lanes,
right?
And naturally those five offensive linemen now, right? There's not eight guys to pick from in the box. And go, hey, do we have who's him? Who's him? Who's him? You got to ID this guy, and now all of a sudden the ball snapped, and we got to decide: are we going to double up to that guy? Or are we going to double up to this guy? Or what are we going to do? Right? The box is nice and clean, and you know right now. Hey, you got this guy, you got that guy, boom, snap the football, let's go. And you spread the linebackers out, so there's bigger lanes for the running back to run in. And so just by formation, right, you've created lanes and you've cleared up the picture for everybody to see inside. And so I said it last year, this needs to be an 11 football team, not a multiple tight end team, not a fullback team. This team, and now they got Stephon Diggs, they need to be an 11 personnel team, and you spread them jokers out. You see it in college all the time.
Yeah.
Where they'll run Tennessee. Unfortunately, my Hogs got Tennessee this week. Why do you think Tennessee takes two wide receivers on each side of the quarterback and stacks them on each side,
yeah,
damn near on the sideline?
Yeah.
Right?
They're trying to stretch you out.
They're forcing the defense, yeah, to go, all right, do we send defenders out there to take away the quick screen, or do we keep guys inside to defend the run? It just by design, you got to pick one or the other. And the Texans have as much firepower to do something. Look, I know they're not going to do that. That's Tennessee. It's college football. They're not going to all of a sudden turn over new. But that should be more of the approach of, you got explosive dudes out there that you can put out wide. And if teams don't want to defend it, we'll feed those explosive receivers. If you want to push linebackers wide, you want to push safeties wide, then now we got a good clear picture up front to try to run the football. I've yet to see the Texans try to do that. I think they pass a lot out of the spread formation when it's do or die.
Yeah.
Like when it's time for CJ Stroud to eat.
But why not run it that way? Why not do run plays in that way, knowing that you don't have road graders up front?
Absolutely. Quit trying to run the football the way that San Francisco runs the football. This isn't you just don't have Christian McCaffrey. No, you don't have dudes up front that want to punch you in the mouth and move men. That's it. That's it. That right now, that's who you are. There's a play where I think it was Akers' best run last week. Where Shaq Mason, of all people, Super Bowl champion guard, pulls, and I mean it's kind of a cutback, but he didn't cut it all the way back because there's a defender out there, which I think it may have been a counter play where Shaq Mason pulled.
Yeah.
And anyway, Shaq Mason pulled. There's one D end right there. All you got to do is kick him out, stay underneath him, and kick him out, and he completely misses.
He misses him. You know, I know exactly what play you're talking about.
And so it's one of those, like, even when you tee up the guard to go pull one of your more physical players to go pull and clean up shop, still don't get it done. Yeah. Like we've just got to get to a point where we got to spread these jokers out, make them defend your explosive wide receivers and your explosive tight end sideline to sideline, which will in itself create opportunities for your running back inside. That's got to happen. You got tackles to do it. You got the receivers to do it. Your quarterback's best in that moment, and you've proven that you can't run it otherwise.
Well, a pertinent Bobby Slowick question that I've had even going into the season was, can Bobby Slowick scheme up a run game? I ain't saying that he can't. We ain't seen it.
All we've seen is beat your head against the wall, and it worked a couple of games last year against bad defense, bad run defense.
Bobby.
It worked this year. Yes, that's my favorite drop. It worked this year against what we know now is one of the poor run defenses in the league. On the defensive side of the football, real quick, because we don't stop at Bobby, we got to also go to D'Amico, the defensive play caller. The defense is showing blitz too early, man.
Giving it away.
You cannot. We've seen it too many times in a month, man. You cannot come to the line of scrimmage. Not against the schedule you're fixing to play. You cannot come to the line of scrimmage from the 5-yard line and show me that you're going to put Eric Murray on Christian Kirk.
Yeah.
And now Kalen Bullock bit on a play action on that touchdown, so that's a little bit on Kalen as well. But you cannot let me come to the line of scrimmage and go, I got Eric Murray on Christian Kirk. Yeah, we finna eat.
Yeah.
You know, you can, and it happened multiple times with Jalen Petrie. It's happened multiple times in a couple of games with Eric Murray. And I'm not saying you can't end up having that matchup, but you can't just line up and literally just show me. Like, it's a play, like, you can't do it.
And it's 2 weeks in a row, because it happened a lot in Minnesota, too, with Justin Jefferson. And we understand Justin Jefferson is his own conversation.
Yeah.
But it can't happen with damn sure can't happen with Justin Jefferson. But it can't even happen with Christian Kirk. Shouldn't happen with Christian Kirk either. That's back-to-back weeks where you got their best weapon very clearly and transparently lined up against the safety.
Yeah, yeah.
Why are we doing
it? Yeah, I mean, you can't show it, man. And here's the other part of that real quick. We just got to call a spade a spade. I mean, Will Anderson and Daniil Hunter,
not good enough.
They're not winning often enough. Mm-mm. They're not winning often enough for D'Amico to just show teams that, yeah, we're going to take away these quicks with Petrie and Eric Murray, and hopefully they don't run free for 20 yards, and then they can create a little separation. Like, we're not good enough. We're not rushing the passer good enough up front. I know on paper, Will and Daniil are guys that you would like to think you could do that, but those are really the only two threats you have. I mean, you got other guys trying to rush the passer, but they're not. There's nothing that you can rely on.
Oh, a lot of their playmaking is predicated on those guys causing problems. Like, right,
yeah.
like cleaning up the trash that they leave behind. I will say that Will looks like he has been disrupted, but he's doing something similar to what he was last year, where, man, he caused all kind of problems, but he wouldn't get home.
Yep.
And then with Daniil Hunter, I would say even more so of a, man, I just expected to see a lot more than that, a lot more disruption than that. So hopefully that picks up.
Yeah, hopefully it does. But those two things there, man, if Bobby Slowick take a little different approach, like quit wasting downs with extra tight ends in the game and fullbacks in the game and thinking you're gonna move people, condensing the formations all the time. We got to move on from that, man. This has got to become that 11 football team, a spread offense, and you can run it that way. I don't care what your run to pass ratio is, but that's the way to get it done, I think, for the Texans moving forward. You're wasting downs otherwise, and for D'Amico Ryans, like, boy, we've got to avoid at all costs. We got to avoid just showing everybody and their mama that we're fixing to blitz, and you got some dudes that we're not real sure can cover yet. And, man, these quarterbacks coming down the pike here are going to give you major, major problems. All right, coming up, the Astros are coming down to the wire here. We will we'll update you on what the Astros have going on next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Line down the left field line. It is a fair ball. One run scores. Two run score. It's a bases clearing. They pinch hit for Abanez, and it is now 5-2 Detroit.
That's where we stand, ladies and gentlemen. Detroit Tigers are up 5-2. Bottom of 9, two outs. I'm sorry, two
it
outs.
It felt like it ripped my nuts off.
Yep.
And barring a miracle, we're going to end this season talking about the same thing that we started the season talking about.
Oh, no! What, we suck again!
What are... Yeah, well, no, not that team. Not that. But what are teams going to do with the back end of this bullpen? Mm-hmm. What is Major League Baseball going to do when the Astros got Brian Abreu, Ryan Pressly,
Josh Hader,
all right there, bang, bang, bang.
Could be historically great.
I'm going to tell you what they're going to do. The Astros are going to turn over a 2-1 lead to Ryan Pressly. Pressly's going to give up back-to-back singles, first and third, and then a wild pitch ties the ball game. Walks another batter. Bases end up juiced. Josh Hader gives up a base clearing, bases loaded, base clearing triple. All in the eighth inning. A four-run eighth inning by the Detroit Tigers. And the Astros don't have enough in the tank offensively to come back. The Astros lose the wild card series to the Detroit Tigers. AJ Hinch and the Detroit Tigers.
But Clint, they told me that if you could just get this thing to the seventh, keep the game manageable to the seventh, even the eighth maybe, and you're going to be all right. I felt like they did that. In fact, they took the lead in the seventh, 2-1.
Yep.
Gave them this lead into the eighth. I thought once the Astros got into the eighth with a lead and Presley and Hader were available, that was a dub for the Astros, especially at home.
Yep.
I thought that was advantage Astros. Call it a dub for Houston.
Seven straight losses at home in the playoffs, by the way.
Yeah.
Seven straight playoff losses at the house.
They're to A.J. Hinch or the Rangers.
This
just
sucks.
Let that settle in for a minute. It's either A.J. Hinch or your division rival Rangers.
That's a great mention. I didn't even think about the Rangers. Yeah,
done it to you.
That's tough. And look, here's to add insult to injury. The Astros in that seventh inning when they took the lead 2-1, bases juiced, no outs, and the top of your lineup coming around. Altuve, was that ball foul? It looks like he fouled, but foul pop up just behind first base for the first out. And then Kyle Tucker comes up and hits into a double play. Bases were juiced, 2-1 ball game. You were up. You could have added to the lead. And you're in two of your best hitters just wet the leg.
Yeah, Tucker, second straight October, boys. I mean, he was 0 for again today. That is two Octobers in a row. The great Kyle Tucker and his busted-ass shin couldn't do jack you-know-what in October for the Houston Astros. This is amazing.
Yeah, and really just the thought that Kyle Tucker is somebody who, you know, you got to make decisions about their future, and Kyle Tucker is a superstar in this league. So for it to come down to the last 2 years when you really needed him to show up, and then really, again, the back end of this bullpen, either what you've invested a lot of money in or a player that you could see yourself investing a lot of money in, both of these big-time figures for you did not come through.
Yeah, and look, you look at the playoffs in general. Framber Valdez gave up 3 runs in the second inning yesterday when he's matched up against Tyreek Skubal, which is probably going to win the Cy Young. And so you look at that and you say, man, you know, 3 runs, he tightened it up. I think he ended up, what did he end up giving you? 4 2/3.
Yeah.
4 1/3. It wasn't a terrible outing, but when you're Framber Valdez and you're matched up against that cat, you need to be better in that moment. So Framber Valdez, add him to the list. Wasn't a great start yesterday. The offense couldn't get enough going yesterday to make that thing interesting until the ninth, and they couldn't get it done. And then today, I would say the only thing from the two wild card games in which the Astros lost that is a positive, Hunter Brown's performance today.
Yeah, I think that Hunter Brown's performance and to me, that was like you obviously wanted them to win the game if you're an Astros fan, and everything was really about this moment and do they get to at least survive until tomorrow. You trying to get to Kikuchi. That's all you were trying to do. You was trying to get.
Well, I feel like playing my fun drops right now, man. This sucks.
You're right. This ain't the time.
Well, but the fact is we're going to miss out on that Kikuchi tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know what this meant? We might not never see Kikuchi again.
I'm not even in the mood for any Kikuchi after this, man.
But look, I certainly would have been in the mood for it tomorrow. And the sobering part about it is, though, What is everything that you're going to miss out on now? Does Alex Bregman come back? You say Kikuchi was obviously a trade deadline rental. You know, I'm at a point where was so good as a left-handed starter. He was so good, I wouldn't mind. I'd be okay if Framber leaves eventually and doing a deal with Yusei Kikuchi.
Yeah.
Like making that my left. For what Framber's going to demand or command it at some point versus what Kikuchi could offer you, I'd almost be willing to let that be my guy. And Hunter Brown back to your initial point, Clint, Hunter Brown emerging as ace material. I mean, all the guy did, all he gave up was one single solo shot.
Yeah.
And was
which ended up irrelevant anyway.
Yeah.
You know, we thought through seven or eight innings it was going to be that was going to be the difference, and really it was irrelevant.
But not just that, was otherwise brilliant, Clint.
Yeah.
Otherwise brilliant.
Yeah, nine strikeouts.
That's what I'm saying. So, and then, of course, like we were mentioning earlier in the show, the type of season that he had once he figured everything out, his month of June being among the top three pitchers in baseball. I mean, like, if there's something to be encouraged by, like you said a moment ago, Clint, if there's something to be encouraged by as an Astros fan, it is the feeling that Hunter Brown is exactly who you wanted him to be.
Yeah, that's the silver lining here. But if you're just now joining us, Astros lose the wild card series, best of three. They dropped the first two ball games. They lose today 5-2. I should have said doo-doo. That's about right. 5-2 for the first time in 8 years. Yeah, the Astros will not be in the ALCS or better. Gonna be a little strange around here, boys, in October, not watching Astros baseball.
And look, not to pour salt on the wound, but AJ Hinch, we mentioned this a minute ago, like all of these straight losses at home, then being to AJ Hinch and then to the Rangers. How about AJ Hinch doing this with a Tigers team that, other than Scooble, it's hard to name these guys. Like,
they were sellers at the deadline. Like, this is
not a very good baseball. Like, I know they've played very good baseball, but you look up and down that, like, that wasn't Raul Ibanez that hit that base. That was somebody named Anthony Ibanez that had come in as a pinch hitter, man. Like, this is an impressive job by them, man, and I wish the Astros had showed up for this series.
All right, well, let's move on to something a little more exciting, man. H-Town, Thirsty Thursday. Tomorrow we got a live broadcast with The Drive. Come on out. Buffalo Wild Wings up in New Caney tomorrow. Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney, Thirsty Thursday. Come hang with us. Big shout out to Bud Light for making that happen. And I don't have the giveaways on hand right now, but I'm telling you, man, Bud Light don't play now. We've given away multiple pairs of tickets. We've given away multiple bracelets for the Bud Light tailgate. We've given away coolers. We've given away lounge chairs. I'm talking about them old, nice weed lounge chairs like mom and dad used to sit in the front yard and smoke them cigarettes and drink them Schlitz back in the day. Real nice lawn chairs back when they made them right, huh? I'm telling you, we've had Travis Johnson come out. We've had the Texas cheerleaders come out. So no doubt tomorrow will be a party. Come hang with us Thirsty Thursday at Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney. Coming up next, there's an article that was written, Jeremy Fowler on Stephon Diggs. We talked about the return element, Buffalo coming to the home of Stephon Diggs. We got to dig into the worry that could be Stephon Diggs. Where do we sit after a month watching Stephon Diggs as a Texan? We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Football in H-Town is on the rise.
I love D'Amico Ryans, man. I tell you what.
H-Town, I'm back.
Our guy B. Scott has all the latest from the gridiron.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
It's time for your weekly Texans report.
You ain't laying down for nobody.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, we're going to tweak this thing just a little bit. Sorry about that, T. We're going to tweak this thing just a little bit. B. Scott is in for Ron Hughley, and he's been with us all day long. Typically joins us on Wednesday for a Texans report. So we'll be digging into these Texans as we go along. But B. Scott's bringing an article to the table today that is a Jeremy Fowler article. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN wrote an article on Stephon Diggs. And to me, correct me if I'm wrong, B. Scott, but for me, with this particular audio, I mean, this particular article, there's a couple of different, stories to be told, right? One is about, and the reason that it was probably dropped when it was dropped, which is recently today or yesterday. When was it dropped? Yesterday?
Yeah, today? Well, today effectively is okay. When everybody kind of got a hold of it.
Gotcha. But
yeah, you know, the internet age, you know how it works.
Right. Well, so it's obviously dropped the week of.
It's dated today. Dated this morning at 6 a.m.
There we go. Boy, that's yesterday to me. Boy, who am I fooling? I got two babies. That's today.
Hey, they definitely wrote it before today because if it pubbed at 6 a.m., that means they've been waiting to drop this bad boy for a while.
It's been in the queue, huh?
That's right.
Well, I think there's two things here, right? Is one, obviously, we discussed the element earlier of the return, if you will, or the matchup of Stephon Diggs and his former employer, the Buffalo Bills, Stephon Diggs and his former quarterback, Josh Allen. And, you know, there's something there. I mean, obviously, when guys play their old teams, obviously they want to win. D'Amico Ryans even said as much in his presser today, is it's human nature to want to win that and get the betterment of your team. Obviously. But the other part of that, as I'm reading the article, B. Scott, that the worry starts to creep in, right? Because with Stephon Diggs, I think it's fair to acknowledge at the very least the reputation and the history that comes with Stephon Diggs. And in this article, Jeremy Fowler did a really good job of going back to the Minnesota days, going back to the Buffalo days, and kind of outlining kind of how that thing went down. And as I'm reading it, it's what we've watched over the last couple of months here in Houston seems damn near verbatim what Minnesota saw and what Buffalo saw, was this new guy come in and be hungry and be blown away with the work ethic and being in the community and saying all the right things. And then over time, it's kind of one of those grinding type situations where, you know, the quarterback has to be set further away from the wide receiver group on Sundays during a game on the bench because they didn't want Stephon Diggs to be so close to the quarterback in Minnesota and constantly be grinding on that guy. Stephon Diggs needed somebody in the building to basically be a sounding board so that he felt like he was heard in terms of the offense and what was going on, the winning and what was going on with the team. And
well, when things were going wrong, he's a venter. He needs to vent.
Yeah, he needs to vent, but he needs to vent and be heard and feel like he's being taken seriously and what he's saying is being taken into consideration, right? So as I'm reading all of that, I think as a Texans fan, I know they tore that old contract up, and ultimately it's a 1-year deal. But you got to think if D'Amico Ryans and company really believe what we've heard them say of when somebody gets here, it's a clean slate. You got to really love what you've seen so far from Stephon Diggs as a Texan.
Yeah, and so for me, I've thought about this, I always am cautious about assuming that whatever conflicts exist, just because Stephon Diggs is the common thread, and we're really just talking about two places now, right? Minnesota and then Buffalo. Obviously, Stephon Diggs is the common thread there. That's who we're talking about. But I always wanted to be careful about just assuming that whatever conflict existed was just automatically for sure Stephon Diggs' fault, because we as football observers and people who talk about the game have decided that, and for good reason, but have decided that that position is the diva position. And when there is a conflict, we're just going to go ahead and blame the wide receiver for wanting the ball or for being selfish or whatever it is. To me, it felt a little bit lazy and presumptuous to just automatically say, hey, this must be Stephon Diggs' fault because these things have happened. Now, when you get to this article, they do give you a little bit of a window into what specifically are the issues, if any, that exist with Stephon Diggs. And specifically, it is the fact that he needs some sort of, like you said, a sounding board, needs to be heard, not the type of guy that seems to respond well to BS, nonsense. Like, you can't pee on this guy and tell him it's raining.
Correct, yeah.
Because he seems like the type of guy that not only will see through it, but will respond in a kind of way that's not necessarily, you know, the greatest of ways, per se. So that seems to be a little bit of it. But I have also wondered, like, how much of a problem is this? How important is it actually for organizations to be equipped to manage different types of personalities? Okay, he's not a Will Anderson type that's going to come in, yes, sir, do everything you say, and nose to the ground, not going to ask him, maybe not ask a bunch of questions, be a rabble-rouser or whatever it is. Different type of personality. But I wonder, like, okay, this is something to be aware of, and there's definitely more to it than maybe I was giving it credit for in the beginning. But I do question how much of this has to be an issue, really, especially if you're just talking about 1 year. Like, I don't know how much of an issue it's got to be that Stephon Diggs is somebody who wants the ball. Like, who doesn't want the ball? Who isn't? Like, you're always going to have on a team like this, I feel like, you're always going to have a guy who is animated. You're going to have a guy who talks a little bit more than others. And I can tell you for a fact, nobody talks more trash on this team today than Stephon Diggs.
Right.
Because I've surveyed the team enough to get a sense for that. This is just who he is. This is just what he does. And I don't think it necessarily has to be toxic. It does not have to be.
Well, there's a couple interesting things here for me, because I agree. The fact that he's on a one-year contract doesn't lead me to believe that within 1 year it's going to be much of a problem. The question is with so many wide receivers on this team and Nico being the go-to guy, if like right now the numbers aren't anywhere near what they were in Buffalo. I mean, he's the most targeted receiver in all of football over, you know, the last, I don't know, what was it, the 4 years?
So, yeah, since 2020.
From
2020 to 2023, there was not a more productive wide receiver over that span than Stephon Diggs.
Well, he's clearly not going to be that guy here in Houston. 25 catches over four games, 33 targets over four games, 233 yards and two touchdowns. I think it's safe to think and know that he's not going to be that guy here in Houston. So you do a little bit of an advantage. You go, if this thing goes, like if Tank Dell comes back and all of a sudden, you know, they're spreading the ball out even more, does it happen quicker because it's a contract year for him than it did other places? And then you go, okay, well, if it doesn't, and what we've been sold so far has been so promising, if D'Amico Ryans and company buy in, now it's a long-term deal. Now you got to ask yourself, do these same things happen? And I've said this from jump with him. I've been blown away with him here in Houston. The article made it sound like that everybody, same thing was in Minnesota, same thing was in Buffalo. Year one, everybody was blown away. They literally talked about the work ethic and things like that. My bigger concern is, having played the game and been on, the one thing I can speak to better than most players, whether it's NFL or college, is I've played on so many different football teams, right? I played in Europe twice. I played on three different arena football teams. I played on two different teams in the league. I was in a locker room for two different teams in the league, in college, obviously.
Right.
I've been around a lot of teams. And to me, the most frustrating situation you can be in is to have a really good player that you need to win, that works extremely hard, that always says the right things and does the right things, but then in the moment of adversity, when things are tough, you're standing on the sideline with your arms up in the air like that picture of him staring at Josh Allen. because they're not winning the ball game, and the answer for them not performing well on offense or them not winning the ball game is, damn it, I need more touches. The only reason I'm going nuts is because all I want to do is win because I need more touches. Like, that's the guy that is the tough. It's easy to the guy that just screws up from jump and the guy that can't get right from jump, get his ass up out of here. I don't care how good he is, right?
Yeah.
The guy that can't play but causes too much drama, get him up out of here, right? But it's the dude that does and says and mentors and leads and works hard that you coaches typically and quarterbacks too will make an exception to the rule and be like, oh man, he's just competitive.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's just this or that. And we'll see what happens with Diggs.
But see, what's interesting to me about that, Clint, is like, but what if it's true? Because the thing that made
true? I'm sorry.
The part that he's objecting to, like, hey, the reason why it's going wrong is because I need more touches. What got interesting last year was how Buffalo was able to decide, and they were correct, that, hey, you know what, we can win without this guy. That's in the article. We did win without this guy. Like, we need to diversify our offense. But in the beginning, they very much needed Stephon Diggs. Those first couple of years, they very much needed to target him.
Yeah, and, I don't doubt.
Sometimes that's going to be that part's going to be the case.
Give
me the ball.
More times than not, it's probably right.
Yeah,
but in the moment playing a game is not like you don't get to just act an ass because we need you.
Right. True.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't just get to because you're one of the most targeted. Like, you don't like that. That becomes a distraction, and then again, that becomes the offensive coordinator calling plays to simply keep that explosion from happening on the sideline. The quarterback doing this and that just to make sure that explosion doesn't happen on the sideline. And so it's easy to prepare and deal with the guy that is that way all the time, and you just decide, do you want to deal with that all the time?
Yeah.
But when it hits you out of nowhere in the most adverse moment of a playoff game, I think that picture was taken. I'm actually referring to. I think it was actually a playoff game that they were losing at the time.
Oh yeah, no, that's that's that Cincinnati game. I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
So I mean, you know, that's the deal. Is that's a scary situation. I only say all that to say, not that I wouldn't want to play with the guy. I say all that to say that that's the toughest one.
Yeah,
for coaches and general managers to figure out and deal with.
He is an animated and emotional guy, no doubt about that.
Yes, and when adversity strikes, you don't want animated and emotional.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If
you're going to overcome it, you don't want that. All right, the Astros. Who would have thought that we'd be sitting here with the Astros out of the playoffs talking about what we all thought was going to be the strongest part of the team and one of the strongest units in all of baseball. We'll tell you how this went down. We'll cuss and discuss. We'll try to keep it clean for everybody out there because I think everybody in this building right now wants to cuss about them Stros. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.